from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Four basketball staffers are no longer on Penny Hardaway's staff at Memphis, and I figured it was a good time to bring in Jason Munns to talk about a Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal on X at Munsley. Jason, first, are you excited to go on vacation coming up tomorrow?
Couldn't be more excited, Gabe. All I could think about as it was going into the wee hours of the morning last night was just, please, let me get to vacation.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, now, I will say this. It's kind of funny to think about this offseason, like, now that this has happened, because it was relatively quiet for a while, and I think the last 2 weeks you've just heard a lot more murmurs about what's going on behind the scenes. It was very quiet, and now it has turned into one of the more active off seasons, maybe distracting off seasons that I can remember under Penny Hardaway, and that's definitely saying something. I can say that,
dude. That is saying something. When just last year you had the Mikey Williams situation that ran from March to December or January, and you had the DeAndre Williams, is he going to be back? Is he not going to be back? Running concurrently. Or consecutively, whatever the right word is. Like, you had that running at the same, simultaneous to the Mikey Williams situation. Like, all that was just last year. And those were only the top headlines. Like, there was all other kinds of other stuff going on beyond just those two things last year. But yet somehow, some way, this kind of, with the news that has come out this week, this offseason, somehow trumps that one already.
Yeah. Now, this makes 8 staffers that have either been let go or left the program this offseason, the latest ones.
It's nine.
As of last night, it's Demetrius Dyson, Jamie Rosser, Faraji Phillips, and Rick Stansberry. Jermaine Johnson still kind of up in the air. I guess I have a 6-word question for you, and those 6 words, what the hell is going on?
How
much time do we have? We have plenty of time, Jason. We have plenty of time.
Like, if we have an hour, I'm not sure we can fit it all in. But I will certainly try to give you, my perspective on things. I mean, I mean it when I say that. Like, we could really talk about this for a very long time, because it is very nuanced and it is very intricate, and there are a lot of dynamics at play with this thing. It is not just one thing or another. This is not, some revelatory thing. And based on my reporting and the conversations that I've had, this does not stem from some, big bang. Like, this is not, there was not some inflection point that just, you snap your fingers and it's like, okay, this is a reaction. We gotta address this right now because of this one thing. I don't think that's what's happened here. I think that based on the conversations that I've had and what I'm confident about, there's been sort of various issues that have either been brewing or have popped up, you know, like sort of reared their heads here and there throughout the course of not only the off season. I mean, some of this stuff goes back into the during the regular season this last year, and honestly, I would not be surprised if some of it stretches back even further than that.
Sure.
You know, but the one thing that I think is key to the whole explanation, and I've tried to, you know, not necessarily, I guess, kind of, I've tried to say it without saying it in the past 24 hours. I don't think it's any coincidence that that Ed Scott, mm-hmm. officially, his tenure officially begins on July 29th, and within 6 weeks, this happens.
Right.
Like, I think what we're dealing with, like, again, we could go off on a bunch of different tangents and really, really dig into the weeds, but I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is, you have a new athletic director, a new regime who came in and, you know, went, like, examined things from with his fresh eyes and his fresh perspective, and saw the need for changes to be made. And, you know, I know athletic directors are not in the business of telling their head coaches, like, what to do in terms of personnel decisions, you know, for their each respective staffs. But I do know they make recommendations.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like, if I were you, this is what I would do sort of thing.
Yeah.
Type of conversation. And I feel confident that is the sort of thing that we are dealing with in this situation, that Ed Scott, you know, sort of diagnosed something that he thought was, you know, needed to be addressed, and, you know, Penny kind of took it from there. That's, to me, yeah, I think that's what it really all boils down to.
Now, here's the question that I think I've heard from a lot of people, and I don't necessarily know if I buy it completely, but the question I've been getting a lot of is, does this have anything to do with, you know, the potential for the NCAA investigation and a notice of allegations from the Malcolm Dandridge situation that transpired at the end of last season? What, to the best of your knowledge, what do you think about that question? And do you think this has something to do with that? Or are you you're not fully convinced?
I mean, I don't think that there is any one easy answer
right.
as to why this has happened. Would it shock me at all if, you know, the moves that were made were done so because it might help that mm-hmm. situation? Like, might help that situation? It's possible. Like, that wouldn't shock me in the least. If you know, like, if you know, NCAA schools that are in the midst of NCAA investigations are constantly trying to do what they can, not constantly, but like by and large, they're trying, they try to come up with as many mitigating factors as they possibly can.
Yeah. Because
that's a big piece of the puzzle when you're talking about an NCAA case, is how many, you know, like what did you do? The NCAA is going to say, what did you do to address the issue when it came up? Like, did you do it
right.
in a timely fashion? What did you do? Did you do it in a timely fashion? All these things. If these moves were made to sort of like solely address that type of question, Like, if they were only made for that, I feel confident saying that these moves would have been made a long time ago.
Sure.
You know, like this did not just start with the NCAA. You know, again, I feel like that would have been done long before now. But at the same time, I'm not totally convinced that, you know, there wasn't like, okay, we want to do this for this reason. We want to do this for this reason. We want to do this for this reason. And if it does happen to check this other box, like if it does happen to work, help our case, help our cause, in this NCAA situation that we find ourselves in,
then all the better.
Then awesome. Like, you know, but I don't, again, I'm not quite prepared to say that anybody looked at what's going on with the NCAA case and was like, oh, they can't be here anymore because of fill in the blank. I'm not sure that like on its own is the reason why any of these moves were made.
Now, I want to dig in a little bit on the Ed Scott conversation we had to start this, where he probably gave his advice and, you know, tried to get Penny to make some moves. Let's speculate at least a tad bit. What do you think that advice was? Maybe too many yes men? Are we a little overextended with our coaching salary pool? Because I know with certain hires they've tried to make this offseason, they have not necessarily had the money to go make it happen. What do you think that advice entailed when Ed Scott came to Penny Hardaway?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, as you kind of already hit on a couple of them, I reported this earlier today that, you know, Memphis has been involved in, like, Memphis has been in talks with former Louisville assistant coach Nolan Smith.
Yep.
For months. And you know, like, I have been told that the biggest reason, if not the only reason, why that hasn't happened yet, like why that hire has not been made, is because there were budgetary constraints.
Sure.
That there was no money left because the staff was so, like, there's a lot of people on the staff before yesterday.
Yeah. Not as many now, Jason.
Definitely not as many now. You know, and so like, again, it's my understanding that is probably the only reason why that hire hasn't been made yet. And so, yeah, I think that was part of the conversation. Like, hey, and you know, to be quite honest with you, I got to get clarification on this. I'm not sure that just by letting a handful of people go, like now, that you solve that issue. I got to get, like I said, I got to get that cleared up. But I don't think that it's a situation where you fire somebody and
money's just immediately cleared up.
Yeah, like I'm not sure that happens. I think you still got to pay them unless you fire them for cause. Mm-hmm. In which case, you know, that's a different scenario. But that's a conversation for another day. And then the other thing is, you know, that has been one of the knocks on Penny since, you know, for the last several years, is that he has surrounded himself, he has tended to surround himself with sort of an abundance of staffers, you know, probably a few too many staffers who don't challenge him, who don't,
right?
You know, who like the way you said it, yes men, like mm-hmm. people who just always have his back at every turn, and some people would argue that that's part of the reason why Memphis continues to find itself in the situations that it is because there isn't really a strong checks and balances structure in place. And so, yeah, I think that's probably part of it too. Ed was looking at it from a purely objective standpoint and was like, you know, like if you're not going to fix this, if you're not going to put people around you that can help, whose sole objective is to help the program, well, then I'll do it.
Right.
I'll kind of make it easy for you. And I'm sure there are probably other things that were informing Ed's suggestions to Penny Hardaway. But I do think that that those were certainly part of the equation.
Now, this does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that I don't believe in the team that they can put out on the court, right? Obviously, you're getting into training camp and you have a lesser staff. I think that could be a concern, but maybe some hires will be made and they'll make right on all of the ills that have happened in the last 24 hours, and they can still make the tournament, and Penny Hardaway could still be the coach at the University of Memphis. But with this type of staff turnover this close to the season, it's hard for me to ignore the fact that maybe, like, is there this outside thought that Ed Scott's saying, hey, get it right now, or we're going to have to really talk about your future with this program? Because that, to me, I think that's where a lot of people's minds go when you see this type of sweeping staff change. We saw it with the Grizzlies, with Taylor Jenkins, and that was a big conversation. I understand it's, you know, maybe a little apples to oranges. But, you know, with Taylor Jenkins, they said, get this staff right, because you could be on the warm seat. We have to have this season go the correct way. Penny Hardaway's doing the same thing, except 2 months out from the season. It's a little late, a little uncomfortable, definitely fits with what we've seen in the past, what we've seen this offseason in general. Again, 9 staff members have departed the University of Memphis this offseason. Do you think that's a little bit of a conversation, just making it a little more pressurized for Penny Hardaway going into this year? Get to the tournament, or we're going to have to start talking realistically about the future of this program.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's the other part of the conversation that isn't really being discussed right now, is that this is not exclusive. This scenario is not exclusive. Is not Memphis exclusive.
Sure.
You know, like when a program or a team, struggles. It happened. What was it, 2 years ago? I think it happened with Fred Hoiberg at Nebraska.
Yep.
Like, they were underachieving. They were not meeting expectations. And, you know, the administration went to Fred and said, hey, first step is you make some changes on your staff. And if that doesn't work, well, then the next step is the next step.
Yes.
It's obviously everybody in the world knows what happened last year. Memphis started 15-2 and then finished 7-8 and didn't even... It wasn't that they missed the NCAA tournament. They didn't even sniff the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Like, they were not the first team out of the field. It was they weren't even in the first four out, and I'm not even sure they were in the next four out. So to go from number 10 in the country, 15-2, in late January, that's the other part of this, is like, this was not a situation where it was just after Thanksgiving and you were top 10 in the country. You were top 10 in the country in late January, and everything came crashing down in a very short period of time. And so, it's just the fact that somebody comes in and says, hey, I think it's time you make some changes, and not just one or two here and there. Like, you need to make a lot of changes. That is not on its own, like, cause for alarm. It's the timing of it that,
yeah,
I think people are that I think is really making this, as you said, uncomfortable. And I'm not even sure that's necessarily anyone's fault, because, you know, there's been transition at the top of the athletic department. Laird left in April, and Ed didn't get here officially until the end of July, almost August. So, like, who's to say that if Laird was still here, that this wouldn't have happened, you know, this wouldn't have been staggered. It either happened earlier or staggered throughout the off season, where it didn't feel so jarring. Or you know, if Ed had come in, you know, sooner than he did, if they had made the hire relatively quickly and he had been here in mid-May or something, or, you know, like mid-June, maybe this happens a little bit differently. But as it is, it's happened literally 2 months before tip-off, and not tip-off of the exhibition, preseason exhibition, right. We're talking tip-off of the regular season here, and you just completely, all in one fell swoop, get rid of four people, including the guy, Rick Stansberry, who was your lead assistant last year. There's a smell test here that it smells funky, but again, this is sort of, it's not, I guess, yeah, you could say it's almost standard procedure when a team isn't meeting expectations, sure. A person isn't meeting expectations. Difficult conversations.
It just usually happens 3 months before when it just happened, right? That's usually the idea.
It usually happens when most people are on vacation.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And you know, it sort of is done a little bit more gracefully, but graceful was not. Graceful and yesterday are not in the same ballpark.
Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question, or at least like dig into it a tad bit. But talking with Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal on X at Munsley. The Jermaine Johnson thing. So last night the report was that Jermaine Johnson was one of the four staff members that was going to be let go. Now it feels like his name's sort of been replaced by Demetrius Dyson, and he may still be on the staff going into next year. And he was, when this was all in the reporting that he was going to be one of the staff members let go, there was an announcement right here on 92.9 FM ESPN that he'd be joining Jason and John on Friday. Then we get to the morning after that announcement's made here at 92.9, and it looks like he may still be on the staff. Maybe it's still up in the air. Like, do you think – hard for me not to think that there's some type of correlation there. And that is a concerning thought for me. You know, was there the tea about to be spilled that – you know, the staff didn't want spilled. I just found that very, very interesting, to say the least.
I would say, first of all, my understanding is that despite the fact that Demetrius Dyson's name was not in that first
It was always
league,
going to be in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like, when the official announcement was going to be made, which it was this morning, he was going to be included in that.
And he was not happy on Instagram, from what I saw.
He was not. He felt like he was done wrong. And, you know, that's all we really have to go on. I texted him last night to see if I could get some sort of clarification from him directly. And the text message was gone since it's still been not answered. So all we have to go on is an Instagram post, and he's the only one who has spoken publicly so far, or who has addressed it publicly. And yeah, he's not happy. But so that's the first part, is he was always going to be part [S2] Okay. [S1] of the cuts. But to your other question, I would just say that, like, you know, certainly you're not the only one who has connected these dots, and it if nothing else, who knows? Maybe it's completely innocent, and maybe none of one thing has anything to do with the other. But it might, and
right.
and you know, nobody's talking, nobody's answering these questions. The people who know the answers to these questions aren't exactly being very forthcoming in their, you know, like giving. They're not making themselves available to have these questions asked directly to them yet, so far. But it would seem it's a little curious. I can see where someone might find that to be a little bit curious, that he was Jermaine Johnson was, you know, supposed to be reportedly going to be one of those who was cut, and then it's publicly broadcast that he was going to be making an appearance, a very public appearance, in the near future, and then he's not part of the cuts. I could certainly see where a reasonable person would connect those dots, but again, can't say for sure. Don't know for sure if any of that has anything to do with anything. But for now, it appears. I mean, you know, nobody has said anything official one way or the other. We just know that the only thing that has been officially commented on and addressed, his name was not part of it. So,
yeah.
I guess we'll stay tuned on that.
Now, final thing, and people are going to be pissed at me for asking this question, but I'm doing my job here. When it comes to Penny Hardaway and the amount of coaches that have gone elsewhere, and, you know, we've heard about, you know, people being rubbed the wrong way by working under Penny Hardaway. I think Mike Miller fits that. I think there's a lot of guys that certainly fit that category. Is Penny... Oh, God, there's no good way of putting this. Is Penny running out of allies? Does he have enough allies at this particular moment here at the University of Memphis and in the coaching ranks? I guess that's the question I'm going to put out there. I know people are going to be angry with that question, but I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems like almost like an unanswerable question. I mean, he's still here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's still employed, and so somebody somewhere, if he didn't have people in his corner, if he did not have support, enough support, like, I don't think he would, things would be different. And I'm not sure that he would still be here. So as we sit here today, it certainly doesn't feel like he's, as you said, running out of allies. But you cannot ignore the fact that you cannot ignore the whatever demonstrated, you know, track record history. Like, you can't ignore that. Like, there's the turnover is what it is. It's substantial. Like,
yeah, it's you can't ignore it. You just can't. You cannot.
Now I will say that. The only thing I would say is, like, with, you know, having that conversation in relation to what happened yesterday and what happened this morning, it's not exactly, you know, like, these people, it was not their decision to leave.
Yeah.
These four people who were let go, like, that decision was not up to them. And as we're, you know, talking about turnover and things like that, you know, you're normally talking about people who left on their own. And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, this is not that. But, you know, to your point, it because of who these people, some of these people were, Faraji Phillips, Jamie Rosser, Demetrius Dyson, these are people who have long histories with Penny Hardaway.
Yes.
And, you know, some people have called, you know, used the term yes men and those sorts of things. Like, you know, there aren't very many of those types of figures around anymore. And so, you know, it could be, it's certainly something worth keeping an eye on and watching and seeing how that goes, seeing how that plays out over the next however long, you know, like, does it make things better? Does it not? If it doesn't, is that, you know, was this sort of the beginning of the end? I don't know. This is, you know, we're really the most we can do right now is kind of do some informed speculating. And so it's not an exact science, but,
right.
But you know, yeah, it's certainly, if nothing else, worth keeping an eye on.
Yep, I hear you. Well, Jason, I appreciate the heck out of it. I know you are very, very busy with what has happened in the last 24 hours, but I hope when you take your vacation starting tomorrow, you're around some palm trees or something like that. I think you get some sand between your toes, something like that. I don't know where you're going, but I hope that's
fingers crossed
what you're doing.
Fingers crossed. Gulf Shores is beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, Yes.
And so, yeah, hopefully, it's like I've been telling people, usually the quietest times are when the, are like right after a bomb goes off. Like, that's the quietest, most calm, period. And I hope it lasts, through next weekend. That would be wonderful.
that would be nice. That would be nice. Well, yeah. Enjoy yourself, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, Gabe.
Yes, sir. That's Jason Munns. He's a Tiger basketball beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal on X at Munsley. Now, we're gonna move off of the Tiger basketball staff changes for just a moment and hop into the Blitz coming up next. We have some NFL to talk about. It's a big day for the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase seemed to have returned to practice. And also LSU, who lost to USC week one on that Sunday, right before Labor Day. They have lost their running back, John Emery Jr., for the year. What's that going to mean for them? How are they going to be able to pace the season? We'll talk about that next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz and the Gabe Kuhn Show is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, let's hop into it.
It's a big day for the Bengals and wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. Wednesday's practice is the first true practice of the week, where most of the game plan is installed, and it would be difficult for him to play on Sunday if he wasn't at this practice. And he decided to practice.
He was limited, though. He was limited.
So, because,
and it makes a lot of sense, because you don't want to just immediately throw him into the action after not playing in any part of training camp and get him a soft tissue injury, because it's a big soft tissue injury problem when you only have a week to prepare and you have not played at all and you haven't gotten hit and you haven't run the same way that you're used to running. So I get why he's limited. But it looks like he'll play in week one. So that's good news for the Bengals. I just still don't understand why he's not paid. I feel like we copy and paste this conversation with just about every wide receiver and every big player who's put out a bunch of production in their first few years in the league, and they're still on their rookie contract. But the Bengals are an embarrassing franchise. And not to, you know, I think they have a really good team. You have Joe Burrow, you have T. Higgins, you have Ja'Marr Chase, you have all these guys that you feel like can bring you to the promised land. You feel like this is a team that could really compete for a Super Bowl if everything goes right. But I just don't get what the holdup is. I don't get it. You're going to pay him. You're going to pay him. You had a defensive end by the name of Trey Hendrickson who wanted a new contract. You said absolutely not. Didn't pay him. T. Higgins, you had him begging for a new contract. You didn't pay him. You ended up giving him a tag that he ended up signing. So what is the holdup? I thought you were saving money to go bring in Ja'Marr Chase on this massive deal. And all Ja'Marr Chase wants, to be honest, and I know people are going to say all he wants, you're underplaying it. He wants one more cent than Justin Jefferson. And quite frankly, I think he's earned it. He is your best wide receiver. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league. He is consistent as hell. As long as he's on the field and, comfortable, not having injuries, he will continue to be one of the best wide receivers in the league. The Super Bowl window for this Bengals team is right now. Going into the future, you're going to lose T. Higgins in all likelihood. You're going to lose some of these people you have on the defensive side of the ball that are angry at their contract, including Trey Hendrickson. Your Super Bowl window is right now. You have T. Higgins on your side playing football. You have Ja'Marr Chase on your side playing football. You have Joe Burrow on your side playing football. You need to capitalize on this year because you don't know what the future is going to hold. And to have Ja'Marr Chase show up to camp this late, to risk his potential, health because he did not play in camp, I just think it's really stupid by the Bengals. I think they played this completely wrong. Ultimately, they got what they wanted. Ja'Marr Chase will be playing, but for how long? I'm not, wishing an injury on him. Obviously, I would never do anything like that. But I can tell you just from past history, I can project that he probably will miss a couple of games considering he has not played football yet and we're in week one. So we'll see how it plays out. But if you have Ja'Marr Chase on your fantasy team, you probably feel good about today's news.
What do you make of the idea that the Bengals have been kind of blindsided by this because he has 2 years left on his deal?
Why would you be blindsided? You're going to pay him anyway. And honestly, 2 years left on his deal, guess what? You can pay him now, and then maybe,
actually kind of a discount?
Just bear with me here.
Yeah.
By the time that we get to next offseason, it may be a little bit of a discount, buddy. he has earned a new contract. He has said his intentions. He has stated his intentions very clearly. Give him the damn deal. And also, when you do an extension, he still has to play on the salary on his rookie contract for one more year, so that extension and the money doesn't hit for the next couple of seasons, depending on how you go about dealing with the cap hit on that contract. You know, you could backload it, you could front load it, you could do whatever you want with it. So he still has to play this year on a rookie deal, potentially next year on a rookie deal, depending on how you sort of set it up. You could make this easier on yourself, but they're not doing that.
Well, to your point, we have done so many of these stories now, especially during this offseason, and not a single time has one of these stories ended with the team winning. Not a single time. The closest one that we have is Brandon Ayuk, and guess what? He's still got paid the amount of money
that he wanted.
And it's kind of
funny, like,
paid.
With Brandon Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb, there was this, at least in the back of our minds, like, okay, if they don't get paid by their teams that they're on, the 49ers and the Cowboys, maybe they could get traded somewhere else, and, you know, they could go about it that way. That team will pay them. Ja'Marr Chase, there's no option.
No way.
There's no way they're going to let Ja'Marr Chase go anywhere else but in Cincinnati. So, taking a while and kicking the can down the road does not do anything good for you. It's strange. It's strange. I'm annoyed with a lot of these organizations. There's a very few organizations that understand what they need to do at this moment. I think the Texans, Nick Caserio, their GM, does a good job. Brad Holmes with the Lions does a good job. Brett Veach with the Chiefs does a good job. But outside of that, it feels like there's probably 26 to 28 franchises that do exactly this, and they don't understand that it actually hurts their chances going into the future when they continue to kick that can down the road with their best players.
A tough week for LSU continues. Running back John Emery Jr. is out for the year. He tore his ACL and his left knee in practice.
In freaking practice?
Practice.
We're talking about practice?
Damn.
Come on, man.
Damn.
He went through that entire rough and tumble game against USC and was fine. And I thought there was a couple of runs in there. It's like, feed this guy. Like, give him the ball as much as you possibly can. I think it was sort of as they got into the second half, he started to really break loose. But to lose him for the year, a former five-star guy, that's going to be brutal. And Garrett Nussmeier, I think he's a really good quarterback, but you know what he needs? He needs a run game. He needs someone to be able to bring a semblance of a ground-and-pound style so he can get the most out of himself, so the LSU can get the most out of Garrett Nussmeier. And without John Emery Jr., I don't know what they're going to turn to. They have Josh Williams, who's a graduate, who's been at LSU, Caleb Jackson, who's a sophomore, but none of them are as good as John Emery Jr. It's that simple. He's got speed. He can break tackles. He's got a little bit of strength. He can catch a ball out of the backfield. You're going to have to find a sort of running back room guy by committee at this point. And I definitely think it limits what LSU can do this year. It absolutely limits what they're going to be able to accomplish on the offensive side of the ball. It is a brutal blow, and the fact that it came in practice is just mind-numbing. It just that hurts more than anything. I mean, it's not even good to see it happen in a game, but at least it's maybe a little bit, well, you can take it a little bit more in stride if it happens in a game, but he wasn't even participating in a damn game. He probably did it non-contact in practice. That just adds insult to injury.
Yeah, I just, for some reason, it just feels like the football gods do not like Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
it just feels as simple as that. The universe is working against him in a lot of ways.
But it's kind of fun. It's worked for him in the past. When he was at Notre Dame,
it's worked for his bank account.
He's gotten a few nods to the college football playoff for the national championship when he probably shouldn't have because the team wasn't good enough. The one thing that he had in his disposal at Notre Dame is the schedules were not hard at all. LSU, you're dealing with an SEC schedule, buddy. Not the hardest SEC schedule, probably middle of the pack, but without John Emery Jr. as your lead running back, it's going to be really hard to navigate your SEC schedule, and just stinks for them. It stinks for them. I do kind of agree with you, though. It feels like since he's gotten to LSU, since he sort of spurned Notre Dame, not a lot has gone his direction. He has not gotten a lot of good breaks.
Post-incident?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Hmm. Memphis Grizzlies forward G.G. Jackson underwent a successful procedure today, and he will be reevaluated in approximately 3 months, but he is expected to make a full recovery.
So with the fifth metatarsal, it's a broken foot. He did it outside of practice. He did it in Dallas, but he was just getting some work in, probably doing open runs, that type of thing. When you look at the usual recovery time for this type of injury. I've seen anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks. The Grizzlies clearly went on the 12-week side. They have this young, impressionable guy and a guy that you don't want to further risk injury with, so they're going to take all of those 12 weeks to get him right and rehab it. I got to say, I know that this is an inflection point season for the Grizzlies. There's no doubt about it. But missing G.G. Jackson for maybe a month of the season or a few weeks of the season is not going to make me think differently about what this team can do. You're still going to have your starting lineup, in all likelihood, of John Morant, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., Zach Edey. You're still going to have Luke Kennard, Brandon Clark, guys like that.
Santi
off the bench. Maybe Scottie Pippen Jr. I don't think G.G.
Jake LaRavia!
Yeah, I don't think missing G.G. for a couple of weeks to start the season is going to, you know, put the death knell in the coffin or whatever you want to say. I don't think it'll be the death knell. So I really think that it's a smart thing for them to take the full 12 weeks. I would have been a little bit, and that's usually what they do, right? But you have this asset that's 19, 20 years old that you want to protect at all costs. Take as much time as you need to get him right so he is full strength when he actually hits the floor. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's just they're going to need some big minutes from Santi Aldama, probably some John Conchar action, and then Jake LaRavia. You need those guys to step up while G.G. Jackson's out. They still have that open roster spot. I'm curious to see if maybe they decide to use it right now with an injury that came. I don't know. Well, we shall see, but I agree with you. It shouldn't kill their season by any means. It's more of just a bummer, man.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
And it's just 100%. Like, come on.
No
Another
doubt.
Another injury?
No doubt.
Really?
It is the worst because of last year, 27 wins and all the injuries you had.
Yeah.
And you don't even get to.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Camp, and you already have an injury to a guy you expect to be a massive part of your team off the bench.
Well, it's just, can we have a couple of months without some Grizzlies injury happening? During summer league, you had the Edey ankle injuries, and then now you have G.G. Jackson. Wrap everybody in bubble wrap until the season starts. But no, I expect him to come back. He'll be a part of the rotation and hopefully hits the ground running.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Take your time, though. Take your time.
I don't think there should be any rush on this. This will put a damper on the plans of some people in Grizzlies Twitter that want him to be a starter immediately upon the season starting, because he won't be part of training camp. He won't play in preseason games. He won't play at the start of the season in all likelihood. So he probably won't be a starter, and I never thought he was going to be a starter. So it puts a damper on those people's plans, but That doesn't mean anything to me, because I always thought this guy needs to come off the bench, understand his role, and then you can start potentially seeing what he could be as he starts to understand what is expected of him off the bench. If he really aces that assignment, maybe in the future you could talk about him being a starter, but not right now.
We'll see you in
December. I never thought it was a real conversation.
We'll see you in December, GG.
Yeah, I hear you. But that'll do it for the Blitz. We have one more segment left in the day. We'll go ahead and wrap up this show, this Gabe Kuhn Show, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.